You're listening to Carl and Catherine. Carl and Catherine.
Sorry, I'm going to let you finish eventually, but we had Delta Goodrum on our program.
Hang on, who did you just interrupt?
The listener.
I'm going to let you finish. What?
I'm going to let you finish listening to the podcast, but first you need to hear who's going to be on it.
Oh, the queen herself, Delta Goodrum.
Can you believe we had Delta Goodrum on our show?
Oh, I had so much fun. As I said, I think in the show, my inner 10-year-old was just screaming. She is, I think when you interview somebody like that, like Delta, who you've grown up listening to music and seeing her on the screen, you expect them to be lovely. But, you know, obviously the person that's portrayed, is that really them? Can 100% say Delta Goodrum, the nicest person of all time.
What was the movie she was in again, the early days one?
Hating Alison Ashley.
That's it. When I was thinking about it, and I'm glad I didn't bring it up in the interview, you did. I don't know why, but instead of thinking about that title, I was thinking Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I'm so glad I didn't say
different.
I know it's very different, but I was like, Forgetting Alison, what was it called?
No.
So you knew. But you know, on that was filmed in Bayside.
It was.
Believe it or not.
And all Aussie cast, based off the incredibly successful novel of the same title.
Yeah.
I remember going to the movies because she filmed that straight after she went to remission from cancer. Incredible. She has just lived so many lives within one. I know that we are fangirling so much about Delta, but we were so lucky to have her.
Well, we also spoke to the people from Gaslight as well. Patty Jamieson joined us for a chat.
Which, can I just say, adaptation of a 1940s play, to make it relevant in 2024, no easy feat. Patty has done it with her eyes closed. It sounds incredible. I've heard amazing reviews.
I only hear good things about it as well. So it was great to have a chat to her. And didn't really feel like, aside from that, we had much of a show, to be honest.
Look, I mean, we basically had therapy for you for a little bit because you've had an absolute shocker, surprise to nobody. You've fallen in the streets of Bayside and damaged someone's fence and you held up traffic in peak hour.
Yeah, I've had a good week. Had a really great week, everyone. It's good. Hopefully this week's going to be a better week. Although, didn't really start too well this morning at the gym.
Oh, what's happened now?
Well, I went to do sit and stands. So basically, you sit down, you stand up, but you carry weight.
Now, that's an exercise I can get behind, a sit and stand.
But with weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I carry myself around, thank you. Sometimes I wear heels.
So anyway, I had a 20-kilo dumbbell.
What happened to you not talking about the gym?
Well, this is the podcast. It's a bit different. And so I went to go sit down, stand up, and I just felt something in my left leg. And I'm convinced my left leg's not quite right anyway.
Did you feel the earth move under your feet?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Anyway, so I didn't quite feel right. And then I was like, this isn't good. But I pushed through. Then I got to my second round. I thought, it feels a little bit better, but I'm not going to push it too far. I'm not going to do what I tried to do in my car. Actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop. So I stopped after my third round instead of doing four rounds. And let's hope that my leg gets through the week. Okay. And my car, for that matter. If both get through the week unscathed, I will be happy.
It's been a bad 48 for Carl Bianco. But you know what?
What?
When you have such a good start to the week with the interviews that we had.
Yes.
We're laughing. Brand new week. I almost want to say brand new show. For people who are missing producer Jack, he is away because he has decided to sacrifice the program to go to the gym himself.
Which is very important.
It is important. And you take time for yourself.
To be honest, I didn't miss him.
Hey, that's not nice.
Not in the slightest.
I was missing.
Well, somebody had to, so you said the nice things and I didn't.
Yeah.
However, I'm looking forward to receiving a nice thing when it gets delivered to me, my limited edition Thunderbird 2 model, only one of 2,000 being made.
Nerd.
The bad news is it doesn't get delivered until April. The good news is I'm going to look forward to having it and putting it on my desk.
Very good.
It's going to be amazing.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
Getting into the podcast.
Okay, well.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Morning.
On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Breakfast with Carl and Catherine.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Happy Monday to you, the 4th of March for 2024. Goodbye, summer. Hello, autumn.
Hello, autumn. And hello, what I think is going to be our best show yet.
Big call.
We've got two very special guests on the program today.
So good.
We spoke about you fangirling last week with Amy Shepherd. Oh my gosh. My inner 10-year-old is screaming today.
Oh, I know.
A little bit later, guys, we're going to be chatting to the queen, Delta Goodrum.
Delta Goodrum. How good?
So good. Remember that ad she did?
Which one?
For So Good Milk. And she said, So Goodrum. That's my girl.
Okay, I think you need to just be a bit better. This is Tones and I to get us started.
She actually did that as an ad.
I'll take your word for it.
She endorsed it. She signed her name, So Goodrum.
This is Tones and I's Dreaming at 5 minutes past seven. Mailbag after this.
You've got mail with Carl and Catherine.
It scares me every time.
What? This scares you?
You've got mail.
Like, I mean, Tones and I has just worked so hard, done this amazing song, and then Mailbot just comes in.
Yep. Bit of feedback from last week.
I feel like it's almost an apology this week, actually. Is it? Because we witnessed some feedback in person,
yeah.
Which normally it's over voice memo, which you can send us anytime, mondaybreakfastradio@gmail.com, or over the little texty text.
Yep.
This was in person. It was personal.
It was very personal.
And there was a whiff of concern from this feedback.
I killed my mum, apparently. I killed my mother. And as a result of that, I inherited mum's car. No, look, my choice of words wasn't quite right. I said that it was just a spur of the moment thing. I meant to actually say I took over ownership of my mother's car. She's not dead.
No.
She's well and truly alive and well. So I apologize to anybody who did take it as though I'd lost my mother. She's still with us, thankfully, and I'm glad she is.
Helen's just driving around in an amazing new car.
Yep.
So the car is dead to Helen, but Helen herself very much still alive.
Yes.
And thank you to Pauline from a presenter here at the station, also part of the admin team, who did pull Carl up on that.
She does. She does that a lot, actually.
Good.
Everything I say, I've always said something wrong in Pauline's eyes. It's, Carl, okay. I don't know if you should have spoken about that. But thank you, Pauline. We wouldn't be anywhere without you.
100%. In the world of feedback from my perspective,
yeah.
People were very complimentary, not of us last week.
I wouldn't have thought so.
But Amy Shepherd.
Yes.
A lot of people were saying they were shocked that she was in Vegas. They couldn't tell.
No.
When she was doing that interview.
The line was really clear.
Yeah. And she wasn't distracted because, you know, Vegas, flashing lights, a lot going on at all times.
Mm. Speaking of.
Yes.
We were asking Amy about whether or not there'd be some new music from Shepherd.
Oh.
And sure enough, about 24 hours later, after our interview, Edge of the Earth, their new single was announced.
She's a sneaky girl.
So we'll have that to play in the coming weeks for you.
Absolutely, new Shepherd. Also, our new BFFs on the socials as well.
Who's that?
Shepherd.
Ah, yes.
We love them.
Yeah. And also, our guest. A little bit later on.
Yes.
In case you've not heard what we started with, Delta Goodrum.
And Paddy Jamison too, writer of Gaslight, the production that's coming to Melbourne as well.
I've heard it so much about that.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. And it sounds like one of those plays too that people, you walk in not knowing what to expect. And every person that I know who has seen previews of it already or they've seen it in Brisbane where they are at the moment have walked away saying it's one of the best shows they've seen.
Heard a lot about Kate Fitzpatrick too.
Oh, I love her.
Just on the grapevine. Apparently she's like, she is a fantastic actor, as it is, but apparently performance in this is next level.
100%. I love that we're giving feedback now on a play we haven't seen.
No, but yet, I'm going to try and see it.
Yes.
I'm going to make my best efforts to get down and have a look at it while it's in season here.
Yeah.
Looks like an amazing show.
Very.
And we'll hear all about it a little bit later on with Paddy, who will join us in about half an hour's time in the spot which would usually be our featured artist. However, our indirect feature artist of the week is Delta Goodrum. She is our featured artist, but you know.
What was that featured artist?
Look, I've had a bit of a weekend, okay? I'm trying to get my words out. I think the way my life works, every second week on this show, I can't say things. I'm starting to work out.
So, I can tell because you're speaking in full stops right now.
I'm not Stephen Hawking, okay?
Hey!
This is trained.
Carl, apologize.
I'm sorry. Carl and Catherine with you for your Monday morning here on 88.3.
Why are you laughing like that?
I had a bit of an incident on Saturday on my drive into work. Now, I haven't said this to anyone, but I should have known my day probably wasn't going to go well when on my drive to the gym, I heard a bang.
Oh, Carl.
I didn't think anything of it. I thought, I've just clipped the gutter as I'm driving. I've gotten a bit close. So anyway, I kept driving in my merry way. I've left the gym.
Yep.
Smelt a bit of a burning smell, but I didn't really I thought it was the rain.
You're just like, you know what? It's another day on Thunder Road.
Yeah, that's it. I'm leading the driving machine. Somebody catch me. It wasn't like that at all. Anyway, so I've pulled out of the car park at the gym. I'm driving home. Fine. But nothing to show me otherwise. Anyway, I'm on my drive into work. It's around about 11:15 and I hit Park Street. It's sort of in South Melbourne, that part of the world.
Ironic.
Yeah. And I'm about to turn right into King's Way. Now, what with all the works they've been doing, the roadworks in the area, they've got like bollards next to the right turning lane. And it's a very narrow, like it's a narrow strip of a road. Because you can go left and go back onto King's Way, go straight down Park Street and hit heart of South Melbourne, Clarendon Street, or you can turn right into King's Way. And I was intending to turn right to hit the CBD. Mm-hmm. Anyway, intending is the word, probably the best way to describe it, because as I was about to turn right, all of a sudden, smoke starts billowing out of my bonnet, just out of nowhere. I'm like, hang on, this can't be good. Like, full smoke. Yeah. Out of nowhere. It was like there was a fire in the bonnet. I'm like, okay, this is not good. Quick, car off. Turn my car off, straight away hazards.
Yeah.
So one of the key things you learn when you're becoming a driver, where your hazards are. Always know where your hazards are. It's the best invention, I reckon, ever that's come out of cars. Hazards.
Particularly when you're driving, yes.
Rude. But on this occasion, I really needed them because my car was not going to move. It was stumped. So anyway, I've chucked my hazards on. I'm like, all right, what do I do? Call mum and dad.
Okay. Actually, no, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to Kanye West it.
Thanks.
And then I'll come back to yes.
Well, I just said to myself, all right, call dad because dad will know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew what I was probably going to have to do, get the RACV, but I'm in an intersection where I'm in a tough spot. So seek his advice and then see what he says. I said, dad, listen, I've broken down at an intersection when I was about to turn right. It's a narrow area. I've put my hazards on straight away. What do I do is just like, just call the RACV. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Labeled them because they are helpful roadside assist. And they were helpful. So the guy on the other end of the line said, listen, keep your hazards on, keep your seatbelt on, stay in your car. People will understand. Don't move. Mm. You know. And in the meantime, I had a couple of people come and check on me and make sure I was all right.
Oh, that's
so one person just said, it's okay, mate. It's all right. You're going to be all right. You know, just sit there, chill. I said, I'm sorry, I can't move. It's like, it's all good. We'll go around. No dramas. But the traffic really banked up.
Yeah.
It's a narrow strip. Anyway, another bloke came through on a big truck and he gets out of his truck. He's like, you're all right, mate. You're going all right. What's going on? Yeah, you're all good. Oh, yeah, we've all been there. All good. Don't worry. He's like, oh, I would get out and just make sure that you let everyone know that you're buggered because otherwise you'll get rear-ended. Okay. Thanks, mate. Typical truckie. But nice of him to check on me. I said, yeah, okay, thanks, mate. Anyway, 40 minutes later, a tow truck eventually arrives.
Yep.
Tow truck tows me to a safe spot. Anyway, I'm in a rush to get into this tow truck because the traffic's still moving. So the car's on the truck and I don't get into the tow truck correctly, of course. I'm like hanging out of the tow truck and then all of a sudden I swing myself in. I'm like, oh, that's better. He's like, no, you didn't get in correctly. You need to make sure you follow this procedure. Like, you know, I said, mate, I'm trying to get into the tow truck so we can move so the traffic can flow better. Anyway, that's happened. And then he drives to a safe spot and I'm calling. He's like, now call the RACV again so that they can come out and have a look at the car. I'm like, all right. And he's like, okay, but when you get out of the truck this time, follow my steps. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to call them to get the roadside assist or do you want me to follow your steps?
Hang on. I've got a question. I've got to interject. How do you stuff up getting into a truck?
Well, apparently there was like a four-step, like, so you hold on to one handle, then you hold on to another,
then
you put one foot, it was like doing the hokey pokey to get out of a tow truck. You put your left foot down, you put your right foot down, put your left arm up, you put your left arm, right? That's basically, he was trying to tell me how to get out of a truck. I'm like, mate, listen, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get out of the truck, then call the RACV? You told me to call the RACV one step at a time. I'm like, all right.
Literally.
He's like, no, follow my instruction. Follow how I see. You put your arm here, you put your arm here. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, then I'll hang up and I'll call him again when I get out of the truck. So I get out of the truck. And in the meantime, my parents have rocked up.
Why?
They've come to make sure I'm okay. they've spent the morning coming to check on me to ensure that I could get to where I needed to get to. So they've rocked up. Anyway, I've finally gotten out of the tow truck. Tow truck driver's buggered off. He's like, okay, great. Thanks, mate. And the assist guy comes up and says, oh, what's the problem? I said, well, I've got leakage out of the front of my car. And
from
I had
getting
smoke.
Out of the truck.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I turned my car on again because Dad's like, I'll turn it on and show me what's going on. And I turned it on and he's like, oh, yeah, it's leaking. And it's like a pinky color.
Gross.
Anyway, the assist guy comes and he looks and a whole pipe had dismantled. A coolant, what they call the coolant section. It's not very cool if it's not working, clearly, because your car smokes. And turns out all that needed to happen was that needed to be reattached. My car would be fine.
So you then get back in the car. After all that drama, you are able to then drive to work.
Yep.
How late were you?
An hour and a half.
Okay.
Wasn't too bad.
Now, from my perspective of this saga, I'm getting some pretty solid updates from you as to what's going on. So I think, oh my gosh, poor Carl, you know, he's just inherited this car and now this has happened. What is he going to do? You had car issues probably only about 6 months ago anyway.
Less. Yeah, actually, no, you're probably right, five.
Really unlucky.
Yeah.
And then the next minute you give me an update that you're at work and I said, oh, did you catch an Uber in? Oh, no, I drove it. So I'm like, okay. So to pull the curtain back on this show, as we've discussed previously, when we're not here, we both work at another workplace together.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a chat with your boss yesterday.
Yeah.
Who has diagnosed the problem as not so much that you went through trauma like you've just described on air. He thinks, and his professional opinion I would take seriously, he's a car guy, he thinks that you don't know the difference between smoke and steam.
Well, I can tell you right now, what I saw wasn't good. And it, to me, it was billowing behind my car. So, look, if he reckoned I could have got from where I was to work when I turned the engine off and when I tried to turn it back on, I couldn't get it on, then by all means, he can try and be in my scenario and drive it. I'm more than happy. But, you know, this other person we're talking about also happens to be a train man. He models trains. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love trains and I get into it as much as what he does. But there's a time and a place. And you had to be there to understand what I was going through, okay? It was not the most ideal situation, but I can tick it off my bucket list.
Absolutely. Well done. And just to reiterate as we go to a song, how do you get out of the tow truck again?
You put your left hand in, you put your right hand in, you put your left hand in, and you put your foot about. That'll do.
The greatest thing happened to the internet yesterday.
That is a very big call.
Now, I don't know if everyone is across this. I almost missed it. I just happened to be on the tockety tick and I heard something and I said, hang on, I need to listen to this again.
Yeah.
Now, I have spoken at length over the past 10 years that there is one video on the internet.
Yeah.
If I'm ever having an off day, if I ever need a laugh, I play this. Now, I want to cast your mind back to the year 2014.
Yeah.
It was the Oscars.
Yeah.
John Travolta took to the stage to present or... yeah, a performance by Idina Menzel. Now, here is what happened on that day.
There will always be a special place in my heart for the movie musical and for the songs that create their most memorable moments. Here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Greatest moment. And I genuinely feel blessed that I was watching that live. I was at uni. It was my morning off. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me is that video.
One and only Adele Dazeem.
How do you get it so wrong?
Well, he speaks about this. So obviously the year after that, Idina Menzel took that beautifully. She had to sing Let It Go, ironic. After that, and just shook it off, did the thing. The next year, they made a joke about it. He says that he nails it in rehearsal, but he got distracted talking to people backstage, that he didn't have time. I think he said to put his glasses on. There was something. Anyway, he stuffed up. Idina Menzel has been incredibly generous. A lot of people would have taken great offense at that because that's not even close to her name.
No.
But she got her revenge yesterday.
She did.
Because she posted this.
Hey, Adele Dazeem, it's Adina Menzel. I just want to say happy birthday. I'm sending you so much love and positive energy. I hope you have the best, best day. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Adele Dazeem. Happy birthday to you. Have a great one. Lots of love. Bye.
That is how you do it. 10-year anniversary. Sing happy birthday to your alter ego, Adele Dazeem.
I'm sorry. I still find this funny.
One and only Adele Dazeem.
It's just...
It's made my year. I peaked yesterday, 2024. Put a fork in you, you're done. Incredible. Incredible.
Oh, Lordy. Is there funny? I don't think there's funnier than that as far as... Although there was Sandy Roberts, broadcaster on Channel 7,
yes,
when he went to go introduce Miss Australia.
Yes, that wasn't good.
At the Melbourne Cup. Her name was one word... And he said the other word,
yes,
famously. I think that's the only one I can think of at the top of my head that it gets anywhere close to that.
But the thing is, he nails the wicked pun, the wickedly talented, one and only. It's like me calling you Bal Kianko.
Okay, Patherine Cow. This is Tom Tolliser, home to us for your Monday morning here on Southern FM. Kapow, I had an incident this time last week. Not on the show, but Monday last week.
Okay.
I went for a run because I run most days. Anyway, I thought, I'm sick of running the same block. I go the same way and I'm like, nah, I'm going to start changing it up a little bit. So I've been doing that and I feel like that just rejuvenates my runs.
Okay.
So instead of going the same stale way, I'm sick of being stale. I feel like elements of my life are really stale. So the way I'm fixing it is just trying to do things that are a little bit different. And that's what I'm doing with my run direction. I'm going in a different direction. Anyway, I decided to do that last Monday for the first time. And as part of my running, I have to hit 2K as a minimum when I run. So I did that again. Last Monday, or it might have been Tuesday. Anyway, one of the days last week. And I've fallen over.
Now, this isn't the... I've never known someone, and I respect this. I wish I could run 2K. I'm so unfit. So the fact you're doing that, all power to you. But we've had a conversation more than once about you stacking mid-run. What is going on?
Well, I just lose momentum and lose my composure and fall. It's not that I trip over anything. It was the ankle. It was the bad ankle that I had some issues with.
Yeah.
But that seems to have resolved itself. I suppose when you, run and keep running on it, it just gets used to it. Anyway, I've stacked and I've left a dint in the fence, and I'm really sorry to my friendly neighbours for leaving a full dint in the side fence. It was purely unintentional. And it was a loud bang. Like, I hit that fence so hard that I had people's front lights going on. I'm not even kidding. Dogs were barking. The front lights were going on. It was like a possum had exploded on the power line or something. It was a pretty loud thud.
Hey, I listened to Colin Tyrus's little promo before about youth crime. You sure your little incident wasn't four of those stats?
Do you know what? It could have been perceived as that, to be honest. It was a loud bang.
Oh, I would love for those neighbours, whoever they are, I wish that they look at their cameras and try and find that footage. And if you find it, mondaybreakfastradio@gmail.com, quick.
Anyway, the reason why I wanted to bring it up is not because that I fell over and stacked or that I'm running 2K. It's where I stacked, I've had another incident in that spot before. So about 10 years ago, my sister had a house party when my parents were away. Don't know if that's ever come out publicly, but it has now. Anyway, to disguise the fact that there was a lot of rubbish, I decided, right, okay, we can't have this rubbish in our bin. I'm going to drag it down to the local park and dispose of it. And my sister's not going to do it because she's hungover. I'm going to do it. So I've loaded these bags up with rubbish. They're full to the top, right? And I'm carrying them down the street. That doesn't look sus at all. I get to the same area where I've stacked. Yeah. And one of the bins just goes kaput. like full collapses right on the same spot where I stacked. And I cut myself.
Wait, it went kaput on your foot?
Yeah. Maybe the same foot that allows me to stack every now and then. Anyway, so the bag has just broken.
Yeah.
Something has scratched into my leg and cut my leg and I'm bleeding. So I bail. I go back home and I stitch my leg up.
No, you don't stitch your leg up.
Not actually, but I put a Band-Aid on it. Bit of protection.
Big difference.
Anyway, I didn't get the... Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
You didn't inherit Helen's sewing kit as well, did you?
Not inheriting anything from Helen after this. Anyway, so I go and fix myself up. Yeah. I'm like, right, I need to do the right thing and I need to go and clean this because, you know, I'm at fault here. And if I leave this like this, people are going to be like, what has gone on? What has transpired? So I go and knock on the door to the house owner and I say, look, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there's a bunch of rubbish on the side of your house. Look, I'm happy to help you clean it up.
Oh, my.
I'm just letting you know. Look, I don't know what these people are doing, but there's a heap of rubbish on the side of your house. Be rude of me not to help you having noticed it, being the first person to notice it. Would you mind bringing your bin out and I can help dispose of this rubbish? And she's like, oh, thank you so much for letting me know.
And then she also checked her cameras.
No, this is the days where we didn't have CCTV cameras. Anyway, I was a good Samaritan and I helped pick up that rubbish. But I'd like to know on 0404 000 736, when has lightning struck twice? When have you had an incident in the same place twice?
Having now heard this other story, I don't think it was bad luck on your behalf. I think it was karma.
Hmm. Karma is my best friend. We're going to a break. After this, Paddy Jameson from Gaslight will join us to talk to us all about it here on the... Well, it's a great thrill to be joined this morning by Paddy Jameson, who is one of the writers of Gaslight. It is coming to Melbourne this weekend. You should go and have a look at it. It's an amazing production. Kate Fitzpatrick amongst the cast of it. And Paddy joins us on the line this morning.
Paddy, thank you so much for joining us here on Monday Breakfast. Now, I am hearing so much about Gaslight. It is the talk of the town at the moment. For those who haven't heard much about it yet, tell us everything.
Ah, well, it opened in Brisbane just last week, and it's going great guns with some sold out houses. It's based on a play by Patrick Hamilton called Angel Street, and it's a thriller. Young wife and husband, and they live in a London house with lots of creaks. And is she hearing things? Is she not hearing things? Is he telling her the truth? Is she going mad? So there's all kinds of spooky, thriller, gothic, psychological mystery, and it's a really good production.
It sounds incredible. Now, you are one of the writers on this production. You mentioned that this is an adaptation of a 1940s play. How do you go about adapting it into a 2024 lens?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, my partner, John Wright, and I were looking for a project to work on, and Gaslight is one of the Angel Street, Gaslight, is one of those old stories that everybody knows, and it's such a good premise for a story. That's where the word gaslighting someone has got its genesis, and it was probably the word of the year, I believe, from the Merriam-Webster dictionary in 2022. So it's quite a current sort of theme. So it's always been, if you're a theater student, it drags around in your mind, that story. And one of the things we wanted to do was see whether we could make a small change, and instead of in the original where there's an inspector that comes and, you know, helps Bella solve the problem of what's going on here, we wanted to see what if Bella had no one to come and save her, would she be able to do it for herself? So that was where we began. What if?
How did it all come about? Why did you want to choose Gaslight?
Well, we love the story, and at the time, Jonna and I both had young children, and anybody who is the parent of a young child knows that you're busy, busy physically, but sometimes, you know, you need a little bit of something to do with your brain. So we wanted to work on a new project, and Jonna and I don't even live in the same city in Canada. She lives in Vancouver, which is on one end, and I live near Toronto, which is the other end. So we kind of got together and wrote it over Zoom, Skype, and we just chipped away at it over a period of a few years. And we just found it to be such an interesting story, and the problem of whether Bella could solve the mystery for herself as opposed to having someone else come and do it was a really good, you know, quest for us.
Oh, it sounds so exciting. It is coming to Melbourne in March. Now, you obviously have a beautiful accent that is not Australian. You're not sounding as ochre as me right now. How does it feel to be in Australia, and how does have you found the Australian theatre industry different to those that you've been around the world in?
Yeah, I think Australia and Canada have some similarities, you know. I think possibly... we've had a lot of chance to see a lot of other productions, and we've had some other productions going on in Canada, and you know, we always in Canada we do it with a British accent. In Australia here we've had this British accent as well. The actors are doing a great job. It just goes through. And for Gaslight, it really depends a lot on the class. Bella and her husband are sort of a different class than perhaps the servants. And all of those are clues as to who the people are. So the accent is important. And they're doing a great job.
Without a doubt. Hey, you've got a magnificent cast. And I noticed as well, Kate Fitzpatrick was a later addition to the lineup of actors and actresses that feature in the production. What was it like getting Kate involved?
She's been with them since the project began in the very beginning of the rehearsals, and of course she is Australian theatre royalty. She's wonderful. She's wonderful in her part, which is the main housekeeper of the house, and you don't know whose side she's really on because she takes her position very seriously. But she's lovely, and she's got some hilarious stories to tell. We did a few photo sessions with her, and she kept us laughing.
Oh, I can imagine you guys are having a lot of fun. Now, Patty, you have quite the bio. I'm reading it right now. Actor, singer, dancer, musician, and teacher, obviously writer on this production.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Have you got a favourite part within that realm of work? And also, what does the rest of 2024 have in store for you?
I've been an actor, and I have actually worked at a large repertory company called the Shaw Festival in Canada. We have a Stratford Festival and we have a Shaw Festival, which are two of our biggest theatres. And I played lots of different parts over the years when you're in a repertory company. Let's see, last year we did, the year before we did Damn Yankees, and that was fun. But I think there's a couple, like I enjoyed playing Mother in Ragtime. I enjoyed playing in a production of She Loves Me, and or A Little Night Music. You know, we do all the different ones. Next year, I guess I can't even stay for the Melbourne opening because it's on the 6th of March, and on the 4th of March, I have to go back and begin rehearsals for My Fair Lady and The Secret Garden. Yeah.
One of the greatest shows of all time. How exciting.
Yes, it's great. Yeah.
Very exciting indeed. Gaslight comes to Melbourne, the Comedy Theatre, between the 6th and 24th of March. We're looking forward to that. But before I let you go, Patty, what do you think is the best part of the production from your point of view? What's a highlight for you? What should we look out for?
Well, this production, the set and costumes and the music and the lighting, I mean, I can't say enough about the performances of Geraldine Hakewell and Toby Schmitz, and they just are embodying those characters beautifully. But the packaging also will fit so nicely into the Comedy Theatre in Melbourne, which we had a tour of the other day. It's very dark paneling, spooky music and lighting that sort of just makes you sort of jump in your seat. It's really, really beautiful. So I think it's one of our best productions. I'm not really involved in the production, but it's one of the best productions of it that I've seen.
Oh, Patty, we cannot wait to see it. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting this morning. We're sad that we won't see you in Melbourne, but wishing you all the very best for the Melbourne run, and we'll see you when you're in town next.
Thanks so much.
Carl, Catherine, thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Catherine.
You're listening to Carl and Catherine.
This is Reese Mastin, and you're listening to Carl and Catherine.
On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Breakfast with Carl and Catherine.
Here we go!
It most certainly is a big good morning to you, Bayside. Carl and Catherine with you for this second hour here at Monday Breakfast. And Bianco.
Yes.
Boy, do we have an hour ahead.
Whew, that's one way to put it.
There's so much to discuss. We are going to be spinning a little bit later the chat that Carl and I were lucky enough to have with Delta Goodrum last week.
Yes, it was last week. It's not live because she's overseas.
She's in London town. It was 10:30 at night, her time, and oh, we had so much fun. We cannot wait to get into that a little bit later. Plus, we need to talk about the Cyrus family, Bianco.
Why?
There's a bit of drama going on.
Speaking of drama,
I'm obsessed. Oh,
this artist has caused drama.
You're triggering people. It's Fred again.
Couldn't have said it better myself. 5 minutes past eight on the Sounds of the Bayside. Carl and Catherine with you. I think I made one of the nerdiest purchases of my life the other day.
Oh,
I'm not even kidding.
Now, this is funny because on the show last week, you got very angry at me because we were talking about your entourage that seems to just surround you. And I did flag that, you know, the key members were Eugene and Sheldon and Lenny. And you said, that's not me. Flash forward to today.
What was the context behind that again?
Because you said you've never had more people around you. And then producer Jack and I really jumped on that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe there was merit to what you said there.
I think there was.
So, growing up, I used to get up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, and I used to watch a particular program.
Thunderbirds are go.
I used to watch the Thunderbirds with my dad on a Saturday and Sunday morning. That, for me as a kid, was one of the greatest things ever. Mm-hmm. Now, this predates our century. This came out of the 60s, and our parents watched it, but the legacy it's left is a massive one. To the extent that, as a child, I would watch it every weekend, and I got all the figurines I could. Like, I got a real-life Tracy Island, which is
real life?
Well,
you had him in your house?
No, I didn't have them in my house. I had the figurines, the most accurate figurines and toys you could get of the Thunderbirds growing up. I had them. Lady Penelope's car. I had Thunderbird 2, Thunderbird 1, Thunderbird 3, Thunderbird 4.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All the Thunderbirds. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that could be appreciating what I'm talking about right now.
Are they still alive?
Who? The Thunderbirds?
No. The people that...
Well, that's harsh. It's lived on through generations, this series, to the point where I'm talking about it right now. Anyway, I follow various pages because it's a very unique television program, Thunderbirds. I think it's called Mariation. Is it the term? Oh, no, that's not the right word, but puppets. They were puppets, right? And there's a word that I definitely butchered just then. But they were used with strings and everything. It was amazing the way they did it. Only redone of recent with Team America, if you've seen that. Not for people under the...
Are you genuinely asking me if I've seen this?
No, I'm just...
I was going to say...
No, I'm saying if you've... Most recent example of them recreating that was Team America. They used the same sort of gear to create that show. Anyway, if you're over 15, you can watch it. Under, probably not advisable. So, I follow a page online on the socials that outlines, like, the journey of the Thunderbirds, gives you behind-the-scenes photos of them making the show, and there's the official site of the creator, Jerry Anderson. Anyway, they released a limited edition model of Thunderbird 2, a replica model. Only 2,000 in the world are being made. I saw that come up in my feed, and this is just out of the blue. It's just popped up, and it said, limited edition model replica with certificate to prove authenticity. And I'm like, oh, I've got to have a look at this because this would look great on my desk as a bit of memorabilia. I just was like, got to look at it. I might not buy it, but I got to look. I looked at it and it was a reasonable price. So I bought it. I bought a real life.
It's not real life.
Well, they used it. They used to use it with their hands, like in the puppetry. It's pretty much, okay, look, it doesn't come alive. So I suppose maybe it's not real life, but it's a real model of what Thunderbird 2 was. Because Thunderbird 2 wasn't actually a real thing. I'd love to have been a real thing, but it wasn't. I bought a replica of Thunderbird 2. It's a model. And it comes in a box.
Nerd. Mm. No, good on you, though. I feel like everybody does that purchase once.
Or what's the nerdiest thing you've ever bought?
Wow.
That, for me, was real nerdy.
Thank you so much for asking. Now, everybody who knows me and people who don't and you've listened to the show, you know, and we talked about it last week, the show Ugly Betty is my favourite of all time. Ever, 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 ever. There will never be a show that I love more than that show. And a few years ago, during the COVID era, I was online just sort of scouring and I found a crew jacket. So a fleece zip-up jacket that only members of season 2 of Ugly Betty had. There are pictures online of America Ferrera, who yep. is now nominated for an Oscar next week. She played Betty wearing this jacket. Vanessa Williams wearing this jacket. This jacket was on eBay for a ridiculous price. And, you know, when you're in COVID times and you're sort of just chilling and you're like, well, why not? I put a bid of $50 on Australian when it would have been back in the day. And this guy was, I think he ended up being one of the editors there.
Okay.
And he was like, well, this has been online for 10 years. No one sold it. Sure, you can have it. So from America, they sent me this fleece. And let's just say when it arrived, it had a particular smell that made me rethink the cast of Ugly Betty.
Oh.
There was, I think they were having a bit of fun on that set. But yeah, when it's wintertime, I walk around in an Ugly Betty cast member jacket.
Bad smells are
never good. Season 2.
Bad smells are never good.
I had to wash it like 50 times and the guy clearly has cats. There was cat hair all over it. It was disgusting. But I've made it my pride and joy. It is actually my favorite thing. It's the ugliest, rattiest top of all time, but it does not matter because it was on the set of Ugly Betty. So that's my most nerdiest moment and my proudest achievement. Thank you so much for asking.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, let us know. 0404 000 736. MondayBreakfastRadio@gmail.com or through the socials, Carl and Catherine at Southern_FM. Nerdiest purchase you've ever made? Because I reckon it doesn't get much nerdier than that.
Champion.
It's Carl and Catherine for your Monday morning on the Sounds of the Bayside, 88.3 Southern FM.
It most certainly is. And Bianco.
Hello.
Are you across this drama with the Cyrus family?
No. Tell me more.
Because I genuinely think there is a doco series in this. It is almost like someone has opened up their laptop and written this insane dramedy and just put this family in the midst of it. Because if this is true, and at this point in time we're only hearing sources, but many of them have come out, talking about this rift in the Cyrus family. Now, obviously, back in the day, Hannah Montana, insanely popular Disney show. Miley Cyrus got her start there. Her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, with stars of the show.
Yeah.
We then got an introduction into the broader Cyrus clan.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, in the last few years, there seems to have been a rift between Miley and Billy Ray. They don't really talk anymore. But now this. I'm very keen to hear people's thoughts. 0404 000 736. Because it would appear, so Billy Ray Cyrus got married 2 years ago. Him and Tish Cyrus broke up. Billy Ray found a new wife. Tish also got remarried last year to a man named Dominic Purcell.
Mm.
And everyone's really happy for Tish. They had this beautiful wedding. But absent from the wedding was her youngest kid, Noah Cyrus, and Braden, the brother.
I don't know.
The one that was in Shake Shake.
Metro Station, yeah. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, they were absente. The day of the wedding, Miley was there walking her mum down the aisle.
What was her name?
Miley. And Noah was found papped at a Walmart wearing a Billy Ray Cyrus t-shirt, which everyone thought at the time was a pretty spicy thing to do. But now new details have come out, and this is where it gets really messy. claiming that Noah Cyrus used to date Tish Cyrus's now husband. Now, people are drawing their own conclusions. Some people are saying that Noah and Dominic were together. He met Tish, changed his mind, decided to go for an older Cyrus. That's how that's eventuated.
Well, see, that's just disgusting. If that is true, if it's proven to be true, I think it's disgusting.
But it's just, it's so interesting. First of all, as a family, how do you actually navigate that? And also, like, I mean, I can honestly say, with the exception of Dr. Chris Brown, my mum and I, completely different tastes.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, you talk with your friends and it's always really good if you and your best friend have different tastes in people.
Mm.
But if it's your mum.
I know. And the thing that makes this even more shocking is reading some comments online. There were some people saying that the mum looked younger than Noah.
Oh, now that's not fair.
I know. Imagine saying that. That's just downright offensive.
But what?
Yeah.
And no. And it seems to be then yesterday, Noah and Miley were sounding off at each other on the socials. Oh. Like, there is so much going on with this family at the moment. And I just feel for Kris Jenner, really, because she's been plotting for years to keep the Kardashian saga going.
I knew you'd bring it up. And I knew you'd bring it up.
This is just coming so organically to the Cyrus family. Kris is probably in crisis meetings at the moment being like, okay, now, Kim, you need to go hang out with Lamar Odom. And Kylie,
No, you need to go to bed, Bunny. That is a bad decision. Think about what you're saying before you say it.
Can I just say too, quietly, the rumour is, I don't think this is true, I'm a Celebrity, get Me Out of Here Australia.
Yeah.
Scott Disick allegedly going into the Australian Lord Disick.
Which would be interesting.
I want to hear about you talking about the Kardashians.
No, I was just going to say that would coincide with Courtney, who's been in Australia with her new husband, who's a member of Blink-182.
I was talking to a friend the other
day. Or Blink-182.
182.
Sorry, I said 182.
I used to always say that too, then I got corrected. No, can I just say one of the greatest tragedies of my lifetime happened last week when a friend of mine was complaining about going to the Blink-182 concert. And I said, hey, on the bright side, you can be on Kardashian Watch. And she turned around to me and she goes, she could walk past me and I would have no idea who that is.
Do you know what I get joy out of?
What?
When I see people who are diehards go and see their bands, favourite bands. And one of my mates, Mike, went and saw Blink-182, not once, but twice.
Yes.
With his partner. And they just equally enjoyed it as much as one another. And I was thrilled to see it.
Look, I mean, I think it's one of those bands, the reviews I've heard is it seems to be this core fan group who were there for them in their prime.
Yeah.
Have all come back. They've all got families now. And it's really interesting.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, good.
Good positive energies. A bit like Miley's new song with Pharrell Williams. It's called Doctor. I could be a
doctor. We are so lucky here at Monday Breakfast.
Aren't we ever?
We got an email a couple of weeks ago from a publicity company offering an artist that we love here at Southern FM.
Absolutely.
We spin her music all the time.
Yep.
We will, a little bit later in the chat, talk about our childhood as well, because she has had a career over 20 years.
Yeah.
Basically, when you think National Treasures, do you think of Delta Goodrum?
You certainly do.
The nicest person of all time, who was so kind that she stayed up late. She was in London last Tuesday when we spoke to her, 10:30 at night, just to talk to us about her new track.
Yep, she certainly did. She is amazing. She's had 9 number one singles and 17 top 10 hits in the ARIA singles chart, sold over 8 million albums globally, won 3 World Music Awards and 9 ARIA Awards.
And that's just her music career.
Correct. Let's not even get started on her screen career, because if we did that, we wouldn't be able to get to our chat with the one and only Delta Goodrum.
Delta, this is very quickly becoming one of my favourites. Tell us about Hearts on the Run. It is so good.
Oh, thank you so much. So I wrote Hearts on the Run a little while ago. It was kind of, it really was that moment of where we were so busy and I kept saying, you know, we're all hearts on the run. We're like, we're on the run. We're on the go. It's an always on team right now. And I sort of had that feeling of when you feel in a marathon, you can't go any further, where you go, I'm so exhausted. We were all like working very hard. And I was like, that's that moment you need a song that says, like, break your own boundaries, break your own limits, like, keep going. And we ended up writing this song from that place of just exhaustion, and then just going, keep going, everyone. And that's where it came from.
For sure. I love how in all your music, you always spread positive messages, and this song no doubt continues that trend.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of my ethos. I find it that's just, I guess I've always sort of enjoyed music that feels empowering. And sorry, my computer has just stopped talking, making noise. I've sort of always just really enjoyed that ethos of unity and positivity and kind of that feeling of, I don't know, sort of visualizing and I guess it's just kind of been a part of who I was from the day I started. But I love writing songs about life. I've always been fascinated as a life writer.
Oh, no, we love it so much. And particularly in the times that we're living in at the moment, a little extra positivity doesn't hurt. And Delta, I was listening to a lot of 80s and 90s music the other day, and I was thinking, gosh, these really high energy, hype up songs aren't really around anymore. Then all of a sudden you entered the chat. The music video is just as high energy. Can we talk about that for a second? How do you just keep reinventing yourself like this?
Yeah, I've entered the chat. I mean, I was kind of listening to the playlist. I love how you can sort of make a playlist of all the songs that you know, you might feel like listening to. I think I was going through a bit of a Tina Turner era. I'd watched the documentary and was just so inspired by her story. And I guess that it just, you go through different phases. My last album was such a piano based album. I'd kind of gone back to my roots as a songwriter and just wanting to get to the core of the truth. I felt like the world had got a lot more transparent and you could easily connect from that place with everybody. And I think that kind of gives you a great freedom in that. But then adding a bit of a, you know, sort of live instrument so that for me, I've been writing songs that we can just enjoy playing live, really.
Oh, for sure. And this music video, we need to talk about the styling in it because the outfits are unbelievable. When it comes to making a music video and coming up with the concept, how do you do it? Do you visualize it first? Do you come up with some outfits and then sort of adapt it around that? I'd love to hear about your process.
It's a great, great question. I mean, personally, I've always been, you know, I always kind of go into an album with what is the album aesthetic? What's the sound? I love painting and creating that. I've been like that since the time I was like 15. When I joined Sony, I was 14, 15 years old, and I gave them a document of what the album was going to look like and what the, you know, what the cover should be. And I've always been just enjoyed that process of putting together an aesthetic. And now it's a lot easier. But back then I used to print off pictures and glue them into a book, like make a little scrapbook. I had to get rid of that on the last album. I was still torn between my scrapbook days and my computer now. but I like everything to be cohesive and I work hard at it being feeling true to the intention of the song. It just has to all match, and that's, you know, aesthetically and spiritually. And that's the same with the song. It kind of felt, there wasn't much of a storyline per se, but it was an energy of, you know, we got together and we went to the Eastern racetrack in Sydney, and they had just installed these new lights that were around the track. And I was like, oh, we can use them. And then we just kind of styled it with some of the European tour outfits. And, you know, you just kind of paint as you go. That was a little bit paint as you go. We were a bit on the run last year, so that was less thought out.
That's awesome. And it lives up to the title of the song as well, Hearts on the Run.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like true to what it was.
very good.
Time. Go, go, go.
Awesome stuff. Hey, you've also returned to the screen. Number one Netflix movie, Love Is in the Air. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that all come about?
Yeah, I was so enjoyed getting back into acting and just being a part of a team bringing together a movie, and then seeing it take flight around the world was really awesome. We were on the tour with the Innocent Eyes tour and having a full circle moment with that, and I came off stage and went to the hotel and I was like, oh, I hope the movie's doing all right. Like I checked just to see if it had, you know, just on the little chart. I was like, oh, I hope it's there. And then I saw that it was number two, and I'm like, yes. And I texted the director, and he's like, no, it's number one around the world. And I was like, what? Are you joking me? Yeah. I was like, I didn't see that on the bingo card. I was like, it's great.
Yeah, look, it was doing a little bit more than just All Right, Delta. But, of course, we want more acting from you. We remember you from Hating Alice and Ashley all those years ago. Of course, the amazing Olivia biopic as well. Is that on the horizon? Are you going to get back in front of the screen a little bit more often?
Sure. I mean, I feel like it's a – I love the variety and spice of life of the entertainment industry, and I enjoy being able to create that. And I think with our production team, we've been working hard at sort of – we've got a lot of projects in the pipelines that we're looking forward to bringing to life in the next year.
Good. That's what we like to hear, because it was a huge year for you last year. You started your own record label, acting, perfumes, more music. You got engaged as well. Congratulations.
Yep, thank you.
What does the rest of 2024 look like?
I don't know yet, really. It's been a great start to the year. I was in the US for the first month, and I've been in the UK this month, and I'm just hoping for a really great year ahead. I feel like, you know, with the new song, more songs coming out, but also just enjoying the process of it all, and yeah, just excited to get creative. I will go with the flow.
For sure. And you just touched on being in the US. Of course, one of the things you attended in the US was the G'day USA Arts Gala, where you were honoured for the 20th anniversary of Innocent Eyes. How was that?
Oh, it wasn't an honouring of the Innocent Eyes, but it was a really special check-in moment of sort of 20 years into my career. And the American Australian Association being so kind. Oh, my gosh, my God. How do I turn this stuff off on my computer?
You're in demand.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean for that to make any noise.
You were talking. That's all right.
It was a really, really genuinely beautiful night. I felt so lucky to have a check-in moment and be able to say thank you to my beautiful table of friends that have been with me, you know, all my life. And to be able to sort of have a moment of, oh, wait, you know, the US has been really good to me this year, and with work as well. And it was just really lovely. I was very grateful, very grateful.
When you look back, like, I mean, that album, I think you must hear this all the time, that everyone's got a sentimental attachment to it. When I listen to it or when I think about it, I think of all the really cringy dance routines that came with it in my primary school years, Predictable being one of them.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
But what, for you, like, I mean, 20 years, when you look back, could you ever have imagined that you would be where you are now? And what's left on the bucket list for you?
Oh, so much more to do. I feel like I'm just getting started. It gets more and more fun as time goes on. I think that's, you know, I was always really fun and playful outside of work. And then I kind of had to be an adult so young. And even just in my 20s when I was doing The Voice, I was still just a kid. Yeah. And I think that I've sort of just now in this place in my life where I get to really enjoy being creative and enjoy sort of pushing myself and enjoying getting to do it with my love and the people I love around me in my life. And I don't know, I love deeply that album was a lightning in a bottle moment, and that it's been able to still be something that people share with me throughout my life. That doesn't happen in many lives, and I'm very grateful that album meant something to people, and that's an honor. That's something that I will treasure forever. I don't live in that moment or live in that one moment, but I do get to live new moments with that album consistently my whole life. Although I don't go and play that album because I've heard it enough in my life, you know, on an off day, but I do enjoy hearing people sing along to the songs that, you know, we shared, and seeing their dance routines like yourself.
Yes. I'm sorry for that. I tell you, I'm glad that smartphones weren't around.
I love it. I love it. It makes me so happy.
Very good.
You might have been doing your dance routines in private, but I had to do my dance routines in front of people. It's much worse. But much worse.
Delta, yours were good, though. That's the difference.
Oh, no, but thank you.
Delta Goodrum, we've loved having you on this morning for a chat. The new song, Hearts on the Run, it's an absolute banger. Great way to start 2024. Would you do us the honour of introducing it for us this morning?
Of thank you, Carl. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoy Hearts on the Run, my new song. Bye.
Reflection section.
I like that the actual intro had to reflect for a moment too. Take a moment, because that's what you need to do. Monday morning, everyone is about to start work. You need to take a moment for yourself and just think all the things and all the little things as well.
Yep.
And or nothing at all, which is what I just did.
What we reflect on today, well, we spoke about Gaslight, the production, which starts this week in Melbourne, and we spoke to... Who did we speak to again?
Are you serious? Patty Jamieson.
No, that wasn't the person I was thinking of.
From Gaslight?
Mm.
Yes, that is who we spoke
to. No, that's not who I'm thinking about, who we spoke to today.
Oh, I thought you forgot Patty's name. I said,
no,
Carl.
No.
It wouldn't be Delta Goodrum, would
it? But Kate Fitzpatrick was... No, that's right. We didn't speak to her. Oh, well, that's okay.
So amazing. We were so lucky to have both those chats today.
No, honestly, we were. I was just trying to do a really bad gag and it hasn't come through.
It didn't work on either end. But you know what? It's been a huge show.
It has been.
A huge thank you to Patty Jamieson. Go and get your tickets for Gaslight. It's coming next month.
This month.
Oh, yeah, it's March.
It's March now.
To the Comedy Theatre. Also, Hearts on the Run, Delta Goodrum. Stream it. Go watch the music video. I cannot stress to you enough. It is so good.
And that's all we've got time for to reflect on, I'm afraid.
Oh.
No proper reflection.
What about your car?
Producer's not here. No. I'm going to get into some See Ya.
See Ya.
Bye-bye. That's what I need.
You're listening to Carl and Catherine. Carl and Catherine.